Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Lamed Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah, V'chol ha-mischayev b'nafshoi ein mishalei momoin, shenemar v'lo ye'osoin onoi she'onesh v'chulei. The Mishnah mentioned that if one is guilty of a capital offense, and therefore he's mischayev b'nafshoi, he would be subject to court execution, so in such cases he will not pay any money. And the example that we had seen was, for example, a father that rapes his daughter. Rape involves the payment of 50 shekel kesef, but that act also involves a court execution. And hence, he will not be chayev to pay the money. The pasuk that's quoted is from Shmos Perek Chof Aleph, where two people are fighting with one another, and the pasuk says that if there is no oson, if there is no death, then ono shionesh, then money shall be paid, then compensation is made. But if there is death, if there is a murder that takes place, then no financial compensation is made, but rather there is a death penalty for having committed a murder. The Gemara now has a series of questions. You'll see that we have a marking that we note on the side under our Nosei Mivne heading. A trapezoid form appears, and we've noted HaGemara Shoelas Pamayim. The Gemara will ask twice. Echod l'chachomim v'echon alibo d'Rebbe Meir. Once according to the Chachomim and once according to Rebbe Meir. Lomali Shnei Hapsukim. Why is there the necessity of having two Psukim? One is V'lo Ye Oson, and a second Pasuk, Kedei Rish Oso, the Pasuk that indicates that he gets penalized once, not twice. Mishutuf, the Psukim Elu, common to both of these Psukim, Hino Harayon, you have the idea that ma'anishim oynish echad velo shnei oynishim, that one punishment is meted out and not two. Dugmos shel shnei oynishim, two examples of two punishments for a single act might be misa umamon, death penalty and a financial penalty, malkos umamon, lashing and a financial penalty, and Misa Umalkos, death penalty and lashing. And we have a note that the case of Malkos Umamon is, in fact, according to Rebbe Meir, both of them can be meted out. So he's not going to be using the Psukim to exclude that particular scenario. So now the Gemara. The Gemara had asked, or the Gemara now asks, on the Mishnah that says that the Pasuk V'lo Yason teaches me that if he's guilty for as a capital offense, so then no money is paid. The Gemara asks, V'ho mehocha nafka mehosam nafka. Is that point learned from this Pasuk? It's learned from over there. Kidei Rishoso. Rishoso, without a literal translation, but it's in the singular form, grammatically speaking. And we learn from that, Mishum Rusha Achas Atamachaivo, for one offense we hold him accountable. V'yato mechaivo mishum shtei rishas, and he's not held accountable for the two offenses that took place in one action. Meaning that he gets one punishment and not two. So, why then do we have the pasuk of v'lo ye'ason, which indicates that if there is a capital offense, then there is no money to be paid, when we could learn that from Kedei Rishoso. So the Gemara answers, Chada b'misa umamon, v'chada b'malkus umamon. The two psukim address two different scenarios. One is a case where there would be a death penalty and a financial obligation. For example, if one were to, let us say, burn on Shabbos someone's pile of grain. So grain is something of value, you're causing someone a financial loss, but at the same time you're also engaged in a Shabbos violation, which is a capital offense. So we say he'll be executed, but he doesn't compensate for that act. And we have a case of Malkus Imamon, where a person, let us say, he ate someone's piece of pork. Person had a piece of pork, he was going to feed it to his dogs, and I come along and I ate it. So eating pork is an offense liable to lashing, and also for my having consumed it, so there's a financial obligation that sets in, and yet we impose only one punishment, not two. Utsricha, and I need separate sources for each one of these cases. The E Ashminin Misa Mammon, had we told you that in the case of Misa Mammon we only give one, Mishum Tiko Ibud Neshama, because the defendant is going to be killed. Ibud Neshama is the loss of life. The offender is going to be killed, and that's enough. In other words, that's enough of a payment, so to speak. We're not going to impose a financial obligation as well, of all. Malchus Umamun, the Leko Ibud Neshama, where you're dealing with someone who is guilty of lashing and having caused financial loss, there's no loss of life, Amalo. Maybe there's no exemption, and we would give both punishments. In other words, the lashing is not too much of a, is not a strong enough punishment for us to say that he should be exempt from the second. So we'll give him both. So therefore, it's not enough for me to teach me the exemption in the case of Misa Momen. I have to tell you Malkus Momen as well. The Yashmin and Malkus Momen, had I taught the exemption in that case, Mishum de lo chomir isure, because the basic offense isn't that severe, and since it's not that severe, I would say it's enough he gets one punishment. Aval Misa Momen, the chomir isrei, when someone is guilty of a capital offense and a financial loss at the same time, where the offense is very severe, although I might have thought that he should not get off with just one punishment. Tzricho, therefore, I have to tell you that in that case as well, there's only one punishment, even though it's a very severe offense. Ula Rebbe Meir, the Omer Loiku Mishalem, according to Rebbe Meir, who says that in fact, in the case of Loike Umishalim, which we call Malkus Umamun, he does pay twice. In other words, he experiences both punishments. So Tarti Lamali, what am I going to use the two sources for? The two Psukim, Kedei Rishoso and Veloy Oso, which indicate only one punishment. So the Gemara answers, as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, Chado B'Misa Umamon, one source is to teach the exemption in the case of Misa Mammon, which we had already. V'chado, we're hearing at the top of Amud Beis, v'chado b'misa umalkus. The person is guilty of two offenses involving the punishments of Misa and Malkus, and he's done them at the same time. He gets only one of the punishments. And I need to teach you both of these cases. Utsricha. And note, of course, this is a long point, hence it's marked as such. And I need to teach both of these. D'i ashmeinen misa umamen. Had we taught the exemption of one of the punishments in the case of death and money, so mishum dechado Begufei v'chad v'moni lo avdinan. Because it's to punish him one bodily and one financially, that's too much, we'll say. And that we wouldn't do. Avol b'miso malchus, death and lashing, de'idi vidi begufei, both are within his body. First he'd get lashed and then be executed. Emo miso arichtahi v'navidbe. I would think that the lashing is like the beginning of the death. It's what called a long death. So in effect, it's only one punishment. So it wouldn't. So maybe in that case, I would do both. Therefore, it's not enough for me to teach me the exemption in the case of misomama. The iashmina misomalkis. And had we taught the exemption in that case of death and lashing, the tarti begufei lo avdina. We don't do two things in his one body. That's like overdoing it. Two punishments in his one body. Avol. Misa umamon dechad begufei dechad mamone, where one is in his body and the other is affects his money. Emo navid bay, maybe there we would do both. Tzricha, so I need to be told that in that case also we only carry out one. Now we continue in the Gemara with a new marking scheme, but we're within the general topic. You can see that we have a double underline, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei Mivne heading, the double underline highlights psukim. So if you scan the page, you'll see quite a few psukim cited along the way, and the expression lomali will be marked off with a diamond around it. Yuvokan sidro shel psukim. There will be presented here a series of verses, Bitchum Chayvei Misa, within the general realm of someone who is Chayav, who is guilty, punishable by a court execution. Shagamor Vareras Ma Kol Echod Malamid. What does each one of these psukim teach us? And again, the general topic is someone who is subject to court execution. And bear in mind that when you have someone like that, we give him only one punishment, even though in the course of his sinning, he might have been involved with multiple sins. So we continue with a new pasuk: the lo sikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach lomali. Literally, vefesh rotzech, someone who is a murderer, lo sikhu kofer means you would not take payment from a murderer. In other words, the idea would be that a guy can't buy himself out of court execution. That would be a simple translation. Now, we must look at Rashi to appreciate what is really bothering the Gemara. Rashi, third line from the top, at the end of the line, lo sikhu kofer. Actually, let us retract that. That the top line, lo sikhu kofer, Rashi on the top line, mashma nami im targenu lo sancho mamon. If you kill someone, so you don't charge him money, you don't expect him to pay as well. So what do I need that pasuk for when we already learned that from the pasukim lo ye'oson ono shi'onesh? The Gemara answers, the Omar Rachmana, what the Torah is teaching me here is lo sikhul lo sishkol memoino minei v'siftere mikatlo. One is not to think, one is not to take money from someone who is guilty of court execution and think that he can buy himself out of it. So now, what Rashi adds here is that this pasuk is not really talking about someone who is chayev two offenses and we're imposing upon him only one. That's not the point over here. That's dealt with, as we said, with the pasuk of v'lo ye'oson ono shi'onesh. So what is this pasuk coming to teach us? It's coming to tell us this principle, that if someone simply is chayev for having committed a capital offense, only and he sinned only one sin, but don't think that he can pay money and thereby buy his life or buy his freedom through paying money. Another pasuk, Lo sikhu kofer lonus el ir mikloto lamali. Again, we look at Rashi. Lo sikhu kofer lonus kosaka daitoch. The thinking right now is Lo savid be tarti lahurig bishoigig. Someone who committed an accidental murder. So don't think that you would impose upon him two punishments. Golos umam golos is the requirement or the expectation of his running to a city of refuge, the ir miklat, plus paying. So the question is, what lomali? What do I need this pasuk to tell me that we don't impose two punishments? Essentially, we would have already learned that idea from one of the psukim quoted earlier. For example, Kedeirish also, we impose only one penalty, not two. So what do I need this pasuk for? Which says, don't take kofar, don't take payment for someone who is guilty of running to a city of refuge. Lomali, what do I need it for? Answer, Diomrachmana, losishko momona mine vetiftere min golos. Again, here we're not dealing with someone who had committed two offenses. Rather, it's simply someone who had inadvertently murdered someone. He was not careful. It was shogeg. It was unintentional. The Torah is saying that someone who did that cannot pay his way by paying money to get out of the golos requirement. The golos is the exiling to the city of refuge. So this same idea of not paying your way out is kind of repeated over here. We saw in the previous pasuk someone who is guilty of a capital punishment doesn't buy his way out, and here's someone who is guilty of running to a city of refuge does not buy his way out. Utre kroy lomali. What do I have to have two psukim for? Chad b'shogeg v'chad b'mezid. One covers the case of the unintentional murder, and the other covers the case of the intentional murder. Utsrichi, and I need these two sources. D'yashmin and mezid. Had we taught the case of intentional murder, that he cannot buy himself out, mishum d'chomir isurei. It's a very serious offense, so you can't buy yourself out of having committed a serious offense. Avol shoygeg de lo chomir isurei, someone where the murder was unintentional, so it's not such a serious offense. Aim alo, maybe there I wouldn't say that he's restricted from buying his way out, and there should be a possibility of his buying his way out. So one source that covers Mazid wouldn't have would not have enabled me to see the inability to buy your way out in the case of murder b'shogeg, the e ashmin b'shogeg, and how we taught just that case. There, he can't buy his way out. Mishum deleko ibud neshama. There's no loss of life by way of the offender here. He's going to continue living just in a city of refuge. Avol mezid deiko ibud neshama. But in the case where a murder was committed deliberately, now you have the offender who is subject to capital punishment. Another life is going to be taken. Amalo, I would have thought maybe the restriction doesn't apply. The restriction of buying your way out. And in order to save his life, maybe we should enable him to pay money to save his life, to save his own life. Tzricha, therefore, we have to tell you that in that case as well, he cannot buy his way out. The pasuk says, "V'la'oretz lo yichupar ledam asher shupach bo ki'im bedam nafsho lomali." The pasuk is essentially saying that there is no atonement for one who spilled blood other than through his own execution, through the offender's execution, namely. The only way for us atonement to be achieved is he has to die and not be able to pay his way out. So you have another pasuk essentially saying a murderer does not buy his way out of capital punishment. But didn't we learn that already before in Lo Sikhu Kofer? Therefore, the Gemara is asking about this pasuk lomali. Answer, mi boyole lichadisanya. I need it for the following scenario that's taught in this brisa. Minayin sheim nisarfo eglo v'achakach nimsa ha'irig. The nisarfo eglo is a reference to the breaking of the neck of a calf, which is a ritual that takes place when a murder victim is found lying between two cities. The closer of the two towns has an assembly of its elders, and a ceremony of Eglo Arufa takes place. And the purpose of that ceremony is to create a type of atonement for a murder that has taken place, and we don't know who the murderer is. And in order to atone for this unfortunate event, the Eglo Arufa takes place. So the source says, from where do we know that if the calf's neck was broken, which is the ceremony that provides this atonement, the achakach nimsa hoirig, and then the actual murderer was found, minayin she'ein potrin osa, from where do we know that he is not exempted on the grounds that, well, we already achieved exemption, atonement when the matter was in doubt through the breaking of the calf's neck. So from where do we know that we don't let the now discovered murderer off the hook? Shenemar, v'lortz lo yechupar ladom asher shupach bo, v'chule, etc. That's the pasuk we just had cited with the most recent double underline. So that pasuk of v'lortz lo yechupar covers this particular case. Now we have another pasuk. After the neck of the calf is broken, it says, v'ato tevaer hadam hanoki mikirbecha. Lomali, what does that pasuk teach me? The literal translation would be, and now you shall obliterate, you will destroy the innocent blood that has been spilled from your midst. So what's the point? What is that pasuk teaching me? So miboyale lichadetanya. Minayin, I need it for the following teaching. Minayin lemumsin besayif, shumanat savor. From where do we know that the court execution known as sayif, literally by the sword, how do I know that it has to do with decapitation? It's from the neck. Talmud lomar, v'atot tevayer hadam hanoki mikrubecha. This pasuk was stated in the Torah right after the calf neck breaking ceremony, after the Eglo Arufa ceremony. So what is this? What's the role of this pasuk? Hukshu kol shofchei damim le'Eglo Arufa. The purpose of the pasuk is to compare all murderers to the calf whose neck is broken. Ma lahalan minatzava, just like in the ritual of the Eglo Arufa, the neck, it's from the neck. Af shofchei dam minatzava, so too the punishment of murderers is from the neck. Now the Gemara analyzes this comparison, with refined resolution. I ma lahalon, if we're going to make this comparison to Eglo Arufa, if just like there by the Eglo Arufa bekupitz umimul oirev, it's done with a kupitz. A kupitz is a particular type of, let's say, chopping or cutting instrument, a hatchet, let's say. And mimul oref means from the back of the neck. Af kan, so are you going to say the same thing with murderers, that their execution is bekupitz umimul oref? It's done in the same exact fashion? So to that we say no. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Avua, Omar Krop. The pasuk says v'yohavta l'reicha kamocha. A very well known pasuk, which means you shall love your friend as thyself. But the halachic ramifications of this pasuk here is bror lo misa yofet, when someone is to be executed, and that's a very unfortunate situation, but one should do so in a dignified fashion. Misa yofet is a proper, nice, proper death, and the misa yofet is using not a kupitz but a sayef, a sword, and from the we'll call the bottom of the throat, where the simonim, where the trachea and esophagus are found, enabling a person to experience a faster death. So it's more dignified, from v'yoftu l'recha kamocha, then we learn that even though there's a general comparison to the egla rufa, insofar as the execution of the murder from the neck area, but the exact method that is applied to the egla rufa is not applied when executing a murderer. Pasuk says, "Kocher m'she yochram min ha'odom lo yipodeh." The word cherem implies someone who is guilty of a capital punishment. And lo yipodeh means he cannot be redeemed. Redeemed is often associated with the paying of money. So lomali, what do I need this pasuk for? Obviously, the idea that is expressed in the translation that we just provided is an idea that we already learned before. So what do I need this pasuk for? I need it for that which is taught in the following source. Imagine someone is on his way to be executed, and someone in the community says, "Erko alai." The term "erko" or "erech" is a concept that you find in the Torah when it comes to dedications and donations of vows that are made to the Beis HaMikdash. Erech is the reference to a set Torah value that people, depending on gender, men and women, have depending on their age. There's a schedule or a list of values that are age, gender related. And based on the gender and age of a particular person, there's a set Torah amount if one says, "I want to give his erech," that particular amount will have to be given, as is delineated by the Torah. So now we have someone who is on his way to be executed, and someone else says, "I want to give his erech." Again, the erech is a Torah determined value, as opposed to a market value. A market value is very individual. Depends on that particular person's value, if he were, let us say, to be sold as a slave. But the erech is not something that is based on market value, but rather it's based on gender and age as spelled out in the Torah. So how do we know that if someone is on his way to be executed and someone else says, "I want to give that guy's erech to the Beis HaMikdash," minayin shalom klum, from where do we know that what he said is meaningless? Shenemar kol cherem asher yochra min adam lo yipodeh. Now we take a look at the Rashi, erko alai, and we're looking at Rashi a little less than halfway down. Even though erech is not something dependent on market value, and obviously someone who's on his way to be executed has no market value. Elo lufi shonim, erech is something that's determined by one's age. So that the guy who's being taken out to be executed, he has an age. Nevertheless, lo amar klum, the speaker, the one who's vowing has said nothing. Why? Demate kro hocha. And this pasuk comes to exclude even that kind of dedication. V'hai chirim loshon hekdeshu. And now, being that we've read the source, we're in the middle of the source, we're reinterpreting cherem, kol cherem, not like we originally said, which of course was based on Rashi, but now we're understanding the word cherem as having to do with something sanctified or dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. So that we're learning here that someone who is guilty of court execution, so the hektish dedication of his erech is of no concern, is not binding. That's what we learn from this pasuk. We continue in the Tanaic source. Yochol af kirim shenigmar dinokain. Is it? Would the same apply to someone who's, say, he's on trial for having committed a murder, but it's before the Gemar Din, it's before the final verdict? Would this be the case also if someone, I said, I want to give his erech, the defendant's erech, but before the defendant's verdict was handed in? Would we say it also is of a non-binding nature, that you don't have to fulfill your vow? Talmud Lomar, min ha'adam velo kol ha'adam. In the pasuk that we read, it said, asher yochra min ha'adam. The word min ha'adam is a word indicating, we'll call it a minimizing or exclusionary factor, that not all cases of people that are being tried for murder, but only tried for a capital offense. Not all of those cases, but only those cases that are after the Gemar Din, after the final verdict. Only then do we say that the Erech dedication will be of no consequence, not binding. The Gemara continues with a question. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya Domer Nerach mitnei shedonav domav ksuvim. According to Rabbi Hananya, he says that even a person after Gemar Din, he's on his way to be executed, and someone says, Erkoy Olai, I want to give his erech, his Torah value, to the Beis HaMikdash, that it is binding because the person has an age, and the person's erech is a domav ksuvim, means it's fixed, it's fixed by the Torah. The Torah delineates how much has to be paid. It's not a market value consideration. And therefore, this person has a set value. He doesn't have a market value. He's taken out to be killed right now. But he has a set value because he has an age. So, hi, kol cherem I offered lay. What will Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya do with this pasuk? Answer, mi boy alei lichiditanya. Now, at this point, we're starting a new marking scheme. And on the side, the nose is, Ma bol olami kol cherem. We're interested in knowing, what is this pasuk, kol cherem sheyocham, coming to teach me? And we've started this question as focused on Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya in the meantime. The triangle here is a ma'akav. Under the mivneh heading, ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style gemara, with the point facing up. In this section, it'll be a tshuva, a response, and the inverted triangle will be a kushya, the raising of a question. The name later at the bottom line, Romi Bar Chama, will be highlighted with a dashed underline because the Gemara will present the understanding of him in two stages. Miboya lei lechitanya. So the pasuk of kol cherem sheyochram, as far as Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya is concerned, I need it for that which is in the following source. Rabbi Shmuel ben Noach, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha Oimer, lefi shemotzinu lemumsim bidei shemayim. Since we have found that people who are subject to death at the hands of heaven. An example of this would be someone whose animal killed a person. There was no court execution for that. But heaven looks upon the owner as someone who is guilty of death. And yet, we know that in such a case, shenoisnin mamonu miskaper lahen, people whose animals killed a person can actually buy their own lives back. They pay money, and that gives them atonement. Shenemar, in kofer yushasolov. If one studies the psukim, one in fact sees that. It Pasuk says, v'gam ba'ol of yumos, the owner of a murderous animal, on a very literal translation of the Torah, it says the owner also has to die. However, the Torah says that the owner, when he pays money, he thereby saves himself. Yachol af bidei adam kain. Should we say the same thing also when someone is guilty of being executed at the hands of an earthly court? Tam lomar chirim min ha'adam lo yipodeh. This is a reference to the posuk that we cited before, kol chirim ha'sheyochra min adam lo yipodeh. Ein li elo misos chamuros. So from here we learn that when someone is guilty of a severe level capital punishment, believe it or not, within the realm of capital offenders, there are different levels. There are those that are called chamuros, very severe. And how is that manifest? After all, the person is going to be put to death anyway. But the way it's graded is that shelo nitno shigigoson l'chapora. There's a realm of capital offenses that when done unintentionally, there is no Torah-provided atonement for the unintentional act of that, if intentional, would have been punished by execution. So those are the misos chamuros shelo nitno shigigoson l'kapara. Okay, so those cannot be redeemed through money. Misos kalos shenitno shigigoson l'kapara minayin. From where do we know that even the lower level capital offenses, those that if done unintentionally receive a atonement prescription, a track by which a person achieves atonement. Minayin, from where do we know that when that kind of capital offense takes place, one that has the potential atonement in the case of shogeg, how do we know that one cannot redeem himself when he does it intentionally? Talmud lomar kol chirim. The expression kol is inclusive. All capital offenses, whether they're chamuros or they're kalos, those kind of offenses cannot redeem himself through paying money. And by the way, if you look in Rashi, which we'll leave that for you to do on your own, he makes references to the misos chamuros and the misos kalos. The Gemara asks, do I really need the posuk of kol chirim for that? V'lo memeila milo sikhu kefir shamis mina lo sishkel memoina minevus ifterei kol chirim lomali. Once I have the posuk of lo sikhu kefir, which we saw way up on this omid, basically the first double underlined posuk, you have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, you can see we have this way up. From that posuk I see that one who is guilty of a capital offense, and mind you, there we spoke about a murderer, and that's an example of a misa kala, where an unintentional murderer has atonement through the ir miklat. And even so, when done intentionally, he cannot redeem himself through a money payment. So we've already established that idea from the lo sikhu kofer posuk. So what do I need? Once again, the question is, what do I need the kol chirim posuk for? The Gemara answers, Omar Romi bar Chama Itzrich. I need the kol chirim posuk. Salka Daita Chamina. Without it, I would have thought, and we continue at the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Hani Mili, Hecha Dehargoi Derech Aliyah, Shelo Nitna Shigigasei Lechapora. Had I had just the low sikhu koifer lenefesh rotzeach posuk, that a person cannot buy himself, he can't redeem himself, that is where he had committed the murder derech aliyah. Derech aliyah means while, let's say, raising the implement of murder. If while a person was, let's say, picking up an axe, he killed someone while picking it up in an upward motion. Person like that, as the Gemara says here, shelo nitna shigigasei lechapora. The rules of unintentional murder and which lead to city of refuge exile are very, very specific. In a case where the murder implement is, of course, unintentionally used to kill someone while in an upwards motion, there is no atonement through exile to a city of refuge, what we call lo nitna shigas l'chapora. Aval harga derech yirida, however, if the murder took place as he was lowering, let's say he was lowering the axe, bringing it down in front of him to chop some wood, and just someone happened to be walking by at that moment and he decapitated him while the axe was in a downward motion, in a case like that, when the murder takes place unintentionally, b'shogeg, the offender does go to the Ir Miklat. Eimo nishko mamoino minei v'niftere. I would have thought that since we see there's atonement for that through exile, maybe the paying of money when done intentionally, when the murder was done intentionally, the paying of money would be a method of his redeeming himself. Komash Malon, I need, therefore, the pasuk of Kol Cherem to tell me not so, that he cannot redeem himself, even when the intentional murder was done derech yerida. The Gemara asks, Amar le Rava, ha miditana debei Chizkia nafka. This idea that we make no distinctions when it comes to someone guilty of court execution, we will make no distinctions. This idea is learned from the teaching of Bei Chizkia, the Tanaic source taught in the yeshiva of Chizkia. So once we get finished with this question, we're going to be left with still trying to know, what do I need Kol Cherem for? What do I need an additional source for the same idea? So the Gemara once again says that this idea of making no distinction between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida is learned from the following source. The Tana Bechizkia, Make Odom Umake Behema. And we should just note that the Gemara, we had seen this source already back on the Aflamid He. There is a comparison in the Torah between one who kills an animal and one who kills a person. Ma Make Behema, just like in the case of inflicting injury or death on someone's animal, we make no distinctions. You always have to compensate the owner. Lo chilakto bo. We make no distinctions. Bein shogeg lemezid, bein miskaving l'shein miskaving. No distinctions between unintentional versus intentional, something that's been premeditated versus something that's not premeditated. Bein derech yirida l'derech aliyah. No distinction is made whether the implement to kill the animal was in a downward motion or in an upward motion. There's never exemption from paying. There's always obligation to pay. Af make odom. So too, with regard to the killing of a person, we will make no distinction. exempting a person from the death penalty. He will always have to suffer the death penalty. Lo tachlok bo bein shogeg lemezid. Let me retract the comment I made now. In terms of we will make no distinctions, there is a distinction between shogeg and mezid vis-a-vis the capital punishment, but there is no distinction made vis-a-vis the issue of money. Namely, whereas by animals no distinction is made, they always pay. In the case of human death, never payment. But there's the common denominator, the point of comparison is that it's constant, the concept of constancy, of no distinction. True, in the case of animal, there's no distinction, there's always a financial liability. When it comes to the murder of a person, the death of a person, there's a constant no distinction made vis-a-vis the non-payment. Af maki odom lo sachlok bo bein shogeg lemezid bein misgavin l'shein misgavin bein derech yirido l'derech aliyah l'chayvo mamon elo l'fotro mamon. No distinctions are made, and there is always exemption from paying. So we see in this particular source that as far as no distinction between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida when it comes to a person having been executed or having a person having been killed, no distinction is made. And just like we say, there is never going to be money extracted from someone who committed the murder, even if it was unintentional. So just like there's never going to be any money extracted, likewise there's never going to be any money paid for his own redemption. So that having been said, the attempted answer before of a distinction made between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida, that falls away here. Elo Omar Romi Bar Chama. And here you can see we have Romi Bar Chama again dashed underline. This is the second stage in presenting what he says. We have basically we have an extra pasuk on our hands. Once you have the Tana de Bechizkia, when what's the Kol Cherim, the role of Kol Cherim going to fulfill? So we have an extra pasuk. So rather, Romi Bar Chama says, Itzrich, I still need one of these sources. Sagadai techamina, hani mili, hecha desimo es eno vaharogo vaharogo bo. That which we said, that we don't impose two penalties. We don't execute and also charge money from the offender. This idea of not imposing two, I would have said that that's limited to a case where a person, let us say, forgive us for the gory details, but he took a skewer and jabbed it in someone's eye, and with that one action, he penetrated the fellow's brain, and that resulted in his death. So he murdered someone through the victim's eye. In doing so, he caused blindness and also death. For causing blindness, that is in and of itself is a financial loss. It's a damage to the individual, which arouses a need for compensation. So we're saying that there is exemption from compensation when the death took place through the very organ that was associated with the financial loss. Avol hecha desimo es eno v'hara goy b'davar acher. However, imagine a case where someone simultaneously blinded an individual and murdered him through a different organ. If you can imagine, someone was in one hand he was holding a knife, pierced someone's eyeball, and with his other fist he punched him right over his heart, so that he caused blindness and murder, but the murder was through a different organ. I would have thought, Amon Nishkol Mamona Mine, maybe in such a case he would have to pay for the blindness, in addition to paying with his life for having committed a murder. The Gemara asks, though, Amale Rova, Ha Nami Meidoch Tana Debe Chizkio Nafka. That particular point is learned from another Tanaic source revealed or taught in the Yeshiva of Chizkiah, the Tana Debe Chizkiah. The following source, quoting the Pasuk Ayin Tachas Ayin, from this source we learn that you don't punish him the financial punishment in the case we just described, because the Pasuk says Ayin Tachas Ayin, Velo Ayin V'Nefesh Tachas Ayin. Let us explain that. The Torah says an eye for an eye, which means that if a person had blinded someone, so you have to punish them for the blinding of the individual. You wouldn't take out the offender's eye because he had blinded someone, because in doing so you might cause the offender's death as well. What do we see from here? We see from here that when we carry out a punishment, we only do one. We don't do two. Rashi elaborates on this. Across from here, Rashi says, "V'lo ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin, minei kai malon b'choivel." From here, we learn in Hachov is the name of the eighth parak of Bava Kama, the ayin tachas ayin lav mamish, that when the Torah says an eye for an eye, it does not mean literally. The amris mamish, if you would say that if someone blinded someone, we then blind the offender, that you take the pasuk literally, dilma, it could be then behadi the samin and le'ene, as we are blinding the offender, mayas, he'll die. Vahave lei, and the result then would be ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin, because he blinded someone, now the offender is paying with his eye and his life. And that would not be the spirit of the pasuk. Mihu shamino mino. We, however, learn from here, the lo savid be tarti. We don't impose on the offender two punishments. Lo shno mace ba oisa maka. Lo shno lo mace. Regardless of whether the victim had died through that very organ or the victim had died through another organ, we do not impose two punishments. That's the point we learn from here. So that concept is covered already. So I'm still left with an extra pasuk. Elo Omar Rav Ashi Itzrich. I need what appears to be an extra pasuk right now. I need it for something. Sakadei Techamina Hayol V'Chidishu Shechidshetur B'Knas. Afagav the Miktel Mishalem. Since the realm of Knas payments are a Chiddush, what does that mean? Chiddush means something novel, something that I wouldn't have thought of on my own. A Knas payment is a payment that the Torah imposes regardless of whether it corresponds to the actual loss that had taken place or not. Let's take a very common example or famous example is the double payment for someone who steals in a stealthful fashion. We call that geneva. Person commits geneva, stealthful theft. and is caught, he pays twice the value. So that you see the extra payment, that doesn't reflect the loss. The loss is compensated by the return of the item stolen or the value of it. The double payment, the extra payment, is a knas. So, since it's something that is not based on, we'll say, common reasoning, but rather imposed from on high, the Almighty imposed it. So since it's a chidush, I would have thought that in addition to, if it, let us say a person had committed a knas-type offense, which at the same time involves a capital offense. We use that example at the opening of today's shir. Someone rapes his daughter. For rape, there's a fine, a knas payment of 50 shekel kesef, 50 pieces of silver. For intimacy with one's daughter, there's a capital punishment that is imposed. But since knas is something that's of a novel nature, I would have thought, even though Afagav the Mikdal, even though he's subject to being put to death, Mishalem, he shall pay. Komash Malon, one of these extra psukim teaches me that even there, he does not pay. The Gemara asks, Lo Rabo, Diomar Chidush Yishifit Shetur B'Knas, Afagav the Mikdal Mishalem, Rabbo says, he goes all the way with this. He says that, in fact, knas is a chiddush, it's a novel point, and therefore, it does not conform to the way we deal with other forms of financial compensation, i.e., exemption thereof when guilty of a capital offense. Hi, kol cherem mai ovidle. So what does he do with the kol cherem posuk? Answer, Sovar lo Rabbo holds Ketana Kamo de Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya. He holds like the other opinion, the first opinion that preceded Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya. Of course, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, sending you back to Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. And you can see there we discuss someone who was being taken out to be executed, and someone said, Erko Alai, that the Erech vow has no meaning, and that was learned from the Kol Cherem Pasuk. So that according to Rabbo, he will use the Kol Cherem Pasuk as the Tanakama, because Rabbo himself holds like the Tanakama of Rabbi Chanina. Thereby no erech payment will be made. And that's what Rabbah himself does with the Kol Cherem Pasuk. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.